Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This year episode of The Potterverse is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. Of course, it's your one-stop shop for all things makeup and beauty and skincare. And for you, our listeners, I've got, what do we got for the special on the website still?
The Twisted Mascara.
Oh, yes, my Twisted Mascara. It's 15% off. All you got to do is go to MinuteWithMary.com/discount to grab yours at a 15% off discount. From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners and let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Everybody and welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I'm a little creeped out by the night bus.
Yeah.
A little creeped out.
Yeah.
Even during the film, creeped out.
Agreed.
Just, it's one of those things that, like, it happens, and I kind of want to skip it. It's kind of like pod racing to me.
Okay.
I always want to skip pod racing.
Okay, I can appreciate.
Because pod racing sucks. And I'm not saying the night bus sucks, but it just freaks me out a little bit. Because it's all over the place, and things are getting skinny, and you're almost running over old ladies. And I know none of this really happens in the book, which makes the film an even better adaptation. But, yeah, the night bus is a lot. And the mechanics of the night bus kind of weird me out, too.
Right?
So, yeah, I don't know. It is what it is. Of course, we are in the night bus chapter. And we're here to talk some Prisoner of Azkaban night bus.
Yes, we sure are. All right, so, As you just said, here's the title, The Night Bus. And honestly, I just love like one of the first bits inside this chapter. But after 10 minutes alone in the dark street, a new emotion overtook him. Panic. Whichever way he looked at it, he had never been in a worse fix. Which, pause. We're talking about Harry freaking Potter.
Well, first,
I'm Harry freaking Potter.
Harry freaking Potter.
I don't know. This is an argument that I think I need to have.
I know. So we will discuss, but I will just say he's 13. He may be a little dramatic right now. Okay. Whichever way he looked at it, he had never been in a worse fix. People may debate that, Harry. He was stranded quite alone in the dark muggle world with absolutely nowhere to go. And worst of it was he had just done serious magic, which meant that he was almost certainly expelled from Hogwarts. He had broken the decree for the restriction of underage wizardry so badly. He was surprised the Ministry of Magic representatives weren't swooping down on him right where he sat.
I do love that quote. And if I were to be the one that were picking the quotes, I would have picked that one.
Get out!
Yes, that's true. It's very true.
Are we married?
It's like we are!
Besties!
I think there's an argument to be made that it is, in fact, the worst situation he's been in.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get there when we get there.
Okay.
But, you know, it is what it is. Of course, As always, ladies and gentlemen, you can find us at maryandblake.com. Search us on all the social medias, whether it is YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Definitely not TikTok.
Twitter.
No, it's Twitter. It's T-A-H. Twitter.
Did you see someone had some really great Twitter reactions about what the Kenobi is going to be like because it's taking place in Boston?
Yeah.
Luke, I am your father.
I'm your father. Hey, Skywalker.
He's wicked strong in the Force.
Yeah, that was wicked funny. I saw that. The Skywalker one made me laugh hard.
Like Skywalker.
Yeah, it made me literally laugh out loud when I saw that. So, of course, search us out on all the social medias.
Twitter.
And check us out there. We'll have a whole bunch of different things happening. Of course, all of our content goes up on the social medias. But some fun little stuff from myself and from Mary. And as always, do check out jointhenerdclan.com. Become an official member of the Nerd Clan, where you get all the great benefits, including Keep Calm and Crown On, which is a podcast dedicated to the Crown, the Hamilton podcast, also Blake's Book Club, and the After Dark Show, the world famous After Dark Show. And yes, it is After Dark. It's AFTHDAHK. What? Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Okay, so here we are.
Let's get into the show, shall we? Let's do it.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Here we are, chapter 3 of The Prisoner of Azkaban, where Harry's completely confused, thinks that this is the worst moment of his entire life, fumbles because he sees some kind of odd creature in the darkness. The night bus arrives and he's going to London. There he learns a little bit more about this Sirius Black. And when he arrives at the Leaky Cauldron, believe it or not, the Minister of Magic is right there greeting Harry and tells him he needs to stay on Diagon Alley.
That's that.
There you go.
So let's start, though, Mary, with
the very beginning.
It's a very good place to start, even though I still do not like that film.
Oh my god. Out. Maybe we're not married.
Out.
Oh my
out
god, stop.
On the Sound of Music.
Seriously, just you need to calm down.
Let's start at the beginning here, where I think it is an apropos conversation. Is this, in fact, the worst situation Harry has ever been in? And if
are we taking sides? Are we? Is this like what's that thing that kids do in high school?
And they're debate?
Like, yeah, that's one of the clubs that I didn't join.
No, I don't. I don't think that we have to debate. But I would say, like, what do you think? Do you genuinely believe that this is not the worst situation that Harry has ever been in, or do you think that it is?
You go first. And I will make it a debate. Oh!
You know what we are?
Fun.
You know what we are?
Nerd!
Okay, cool.
I didn't do it in high school. Doing it now.
All right, so
I'm prepped with Potter.
Here's what I'll say. I think that it probably is the worst situation Harry has ever been
in.
That's
what I was going to say.
now you're going to take the crappy side.
Yes, I do.
It is the worst situation because Harry is alone. He has nobody. He has no money. And he's alone in the muggle world without knowing he can go back to the magical world, without knowing he can get there. How does he even go about getting there? Who does he contact? He has no way of communicating with Ron or Hermione. Hedwig is not around. And worst of all is the magical world is Harry's home. When he goes to the Muggle world, which was once his home, but it has since, as we have said, evolved into the place that he visits when he's outside of his home, he can't do magic. And he doesn't know enough magic to survive with magic alone. He is just out there. And in a Muggle world that is not kind, and people are out to potentially get him, if so, and the magical authorities may be coming to get him too. And God knows he's probably expelled from Hogwarts, the one place he loves most. I can't think of a worse situation than him. If he was fighting Voldemort, sure, but he's got friends. He's got Dumbledore. He's got people behind him. He's got the magical world to supplement.
I mean, does he really have Dumbledore?
Well,
no, I know.
But, you know, I mean, that's the question. So, yeah, I think this might be the worst and stickiest situation he's found himself.
Okay, so for the record, I agree. Okay, I think that this is the worst situation.
Oh, no, you can't go couching it.
But.
Oh, this is a soft take. Soft take. You should, if you're listening to the podcast app, Mary's face was priceless.
But had the night bus not arrived, do you know what Harry freaking Potter would have probably done?
What's that?
Just gone across the street to Mrs. Figgs. Okay, after a little while, he would have been like, yeah, you know, I'm going to have to listen about all of her cats, but she probably has food and a bed and knows me and will take care of me until I figure something out. That's where he would have gone. He would have gone to see Mrs. Fig, and Mrs. Fig, being the squib who's in charge of protecting Harry Potter on Privet Drive, would have known what to do, and it wouldn't have been that bad. Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Yeah, but he doesn't
want to know what's the worst? Your parents being killed by Lord Voldemort, you being orphaned, having Hagrid pick you up on a cold motorcycle ride, and then bringing you to 4 Privet Drive, where Dumbledore just puts you on a stoop on Halloween night. It's not warm. Leaves you overnight. Doesn't even ring a doorbell.
Yeah, but that's not in it.
Doesn't even ring the doorbell.
Not in his
Petunia
control.
Finds him the next morning. He's left on Halloween night on a doorstep overnight.
It was
I'm
mild.
I'm pretty sure.
It was mild.
That's a worse fix.
It was mild. It was a mild night. It wasn't too cold. He could survive.
He's a baby.
Yeah, he could survive. He's got tons of blankets. You've seen it. Blankets for days.
I think that that's worse.
I don't know.
For this take. Hey!
Oh!
No, I know she doesn't know. He doesn't know she's a squib yet. I know,
but,
Rachel,
but
I'm just
is.
Saying that Mrs. Fig would have hooked him up and helped him. He doesn't know. He doesn't know that she's on the inside. But I'm just saying that he probably would have sat there and been like, crud. I only know like one person.
Crud. Really, Mary?
Really, I think that's what Harry would have said at 13 after he just ran away from home.
I doubt it. You know how many bad words I knew when I was 13?
Like, this trunk's heavy.
Crud.
I'm going to go to Mrs. Figgs and eat her stale cookies and listen to her cat stories. She probably watches like Scooby-Doo.
The animated version?
Yeah, the animated, like, yeah, sure. Old school TV,
yeah, she's,
70s.
She's not doing the Freddie Prinze Jr.
No.
She'd have
been like,
do
you want to watch a cartoon? Okay, so that's the scoop, the night bus.
She probably has the VHS tapes. I wouldn't be surprised.
Probably.
Wouldn't be surprised if she has the VHS tapes.
So what is interesting is that the Ministry of Magic representatives are not swooping in. And we are going to see that the Ministry of Magic often does take this quite seriously, as with the element that happened with Dobby last year, you know, that letter came zipping right away. And then we're going to have some more Ministry of Magic issues happen in book 5 in the Order of the Phoenix when Harry is walking down pretty much these same streets.
Yep.
Okay. And he has some magic that he has to do to save he and Dudley. And there's some serious issues that happen then right away. So it is quite interesting. And he knows that something is up. However, where is this Ministry of Magic? How does Cornelius Fudge know just to wait for him at the Leaky Cauldron? Had he not flagged down the night bus? What the heck?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, is there a tracker?
The tracker should have gone off. The like, bling, 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 underage wizardry, bling, bling.
Right,
like,
right.
Something should have gone off.
Right.
Because it did when Dobby did the levitation charm.
So that's what I'm wondering. If it did go off, is there a tracker that follows his movements?
Because they know that something happened. Remember how we were debating, like, did it have to be a spell that happens that the kids knew at this age? But no matter what, by the time he gets to the Leaky Cauldron, Fudge is saying, it's okay, we already deflated her, we punctured her, and she's all set, and we've removed her memory. So they knew that it happened before Harry gets to the Leaky Cauldron to talk about what's going on. So they fixed the problem, but they somehow couldn't locate Harry. Maybe, I mean, once he's on the night bus, I appreciate that they can't find him.
Sure.
Because that thing's zipping all over the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Is there only one night bus?
That's a good question. That's
I think there is.
I think there's only one night bus as well. I think, yeah, I would agree with you, Mary, that there's only one night bus.
I heard this amazing fan theory.
Okay.
there is this animal in the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them franchise that, once again, I'm not as well versed in that. And so I apologize because I know I messed up Credence's name and the Obscurious, and I'm messing this up right now. But there
Obscurus.
Sorry.
It's an Obscurial, but it's
yes,
an Obscurus.
Yes, I'm messing everything up. There is this creature that isn't even mentioned in the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them book. It is the creature that Newt Scamander rides, and it's rather large and almost looks like a lion, and it comes from China.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it can, like, bloop, bloop, zip places very, very quickly.
Yes.
So I heard this fan theory that there aren't any other night buses, that this is the only night bus, because
sure.
this was actually a transfiguration, and how... wizards often take a mouse and transfigure it into a cup. You know, they'll take living things and transfigure them into non-living things.
Mm-hmm.
And how sometimes, you know, you can transform things that are magical into something that's generally not.
Sure.
So how interesting it would have been to have transfigured that creature, which I'm forgetting its name, it begins with an M, but you know what I mean. It's
sure.
the one that looks like a lion, like almost like the Japanese.
It's a magical lion.
The Chinese dragon lion looking
sure.
thing that they parade with.
Sure.
That actually that was transfigured into the night bus.
Mm-hmm.
And this fan theory went on to say that that's why Newt Scamander didn't write about it in the book, because these animals are very rare,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want people doing that kind of thing because it can travel quickly. Anyway, I'm like, that would explain why there's only one.
Yes, I would agree. And the other thing is, too, it's magic. That's what it is. It's magic. It can do whatever the hell it wants to do because it's magic.
Okay, so say you're in the magical world. Why don't you flu powder, ride a broom, apparate? Why would you have to use the night bus?
For any particular, maybe you're missing your wand. Maybe you can't find flu powder.
You have to have the wand to wave the night bus.
Not.
Yeah. Getting deep, huh?
That's a good.
Here's my idea.
What?
Everyone on the night bus was like old. Maybe at like a certain age, like you can't drive mm-hmm. at a certain point. Maybe you can't fly at a certain point. Maybe like
sure.
when you get a little senile and stuff, they don't really trust you to do the flu powder.
But even if you do have your wand, maybe you just don't know how to... I mean, this calls into question education for wizards,
mm-hmm.
right? Are you a wizard because you go to Hogwarts?
Can Squibs ride the night bus but not apparate?
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? So let's say for the sake of argument, someone is a wizard, but they didn't go to Hogwarts. They didn't necessarily learn that they are capable of magic. Like Harry, when he did the thing with the boa constrictor, or with the glass, or even blowing up Aunt Marge.
Zuwu. Jolene is saying the creature's name is Zuwu, so it does not begin with an M. Thank you so much, Jolene.
Sure. Absolutely. Let's go with it. Again, this comes into the thing where it is for lost wizards.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a lost wizard, are you physically lost and you can't do some magic for whatever particular reason, so the night bus is there? Or you're incapable of doing the magic,
mm-hmm.
or you just don't have enough knowledge to complete the magic. So that's what gets you from place to place.
Love it.
In Harry's case in particular, we have a situation where he knows how to do magic, but not enough. And he is, if you want to dive deep in the text, he is indeed lost. This is indeed his worst moment. And the night bus is there to guide him away from his worst moment.
Well,
so is it something that where you're physically lost or you're emotionally lost with no means of getting to where you need to go emotionally and physically? The other question I have is the night bus shows up.
I mean, if you're underage, you have to use the bus.
Sure, yeah. Angela on Facebook here says, the night bus seemed extremely convenient. Now, normally, Angela, I would agree. I would agree with you that it is extremely convenient because Harry needs to get somewhere with no means of being able to get where he needs to go. And all of a sudden, this bus just shows up. My argument, though, is that this is a fantastic world. This is not the mundane world that our stories are normal in, which they are normally set. This is the magical world, and the magical world can do what it needs in order to help its wizards. Mary, do you agree or disagree with this assessment?
Yeah, well, actually, the author wrote that the night bus was so named because, firstly, night is a homonym of night. So K-N-I-T, knight, yeah, is, you know, of night. And there are actually night buses running all over Britain at normal transport stops. So this is just a normal thing that there are night buses in Britain. Secondly, night, knight, has the connotation of coming to the rescue, of protection, and this seemed appropriate for a vehicle that is often the conveyance of last resort.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's it. It is for people who are, as you said, emotionally or mentally or physically lost, for underage people who have no other resort. So it is interesting. Yeah, believe it or not, the driver and conductor of the Knight bus, the Knight bus in Harry Potter, are named after the author's two grandfathers, Ernest and Stanley.
Oh,
fun facts. Fun facts right there for you.
Look at this. Allie says, is it just a plot hole?
I don't think it is. I will say I do feel a little saddened that the Knight bus itself doesn't come back up.
Yeah, it never comes back. It just is there.
There is no need for it because obviously they learn how to ride brooms and thestrals and apparate and flue powder and port keys. You know, they learn all these different modes of transportation. And that being said, you know, they don't have to. Everything that happens in Harry Potter does not always have to happen again. But we do run into Stan Shunpeg again, which is quite interesting. And I think we actually get a little bit into his allegiance in this chapter, which is just so interesting. And I gotta say, knowing Stan Shunpike, for those of you who don't know it, it's a minor spoiler. Okay, Stan Shunpike goes
This is a spoiler podcast.
I know, I'm just saying he goes to the dark side, okay? He goes to the bad side. And what's interesting is he, like, speaks badly about the Muggles.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they don't
Harry
see
says, how come the Muggles don't hear the bus? You know, the bus is running around rampant, doing all these kind of things. And them, said Stan contemptuously.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, look at that. Listen to that word again. Contemptuously. Don't listen properly, do they? Don't look properly either. Never notice nothing. They don't. But I just, that word contemptuously.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, it would have been. With contempt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is looking at humans with contempt. Like
with Muggles, yeah.
Muggles, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, they ain't good. He despises them.
That's what changes it. Had we just had it just said, don't listen properly, do they? Don't look properly either. Never notice nothing, they don't. Had it said, Stan laughed or, you know, joked.
Mm-hmm.
Had it been a more lighthearted word,
would have been a totally different tone.
But now knowing he goes bad, that one word contemptuously really, really changes how I see Stan this entire time.
Sure. And as we talked about, Mary, the author is very efficient. Those words are there for a reason. There's very little waste. There's very, very few words that are put in there without purpose. So I'm okay with this word, and I'm okay with your take on Stan Shunpike. Tammy asks on Facebook, Stan was under the Imperius curse, right?
How did Stan get Imperioed? How did he?
I don't know. I'll look it up. You keep talking.
You do it. Because here I am like, darn you, Stan. Like, I'm not going to cheer for you, buddy.
Why do I feel like Stan said he was under the Imperial curse?
I don't know, man. We, of course, in this chapter, we get reminded of the invisibility cloak he had inherited from his father. And, you know, as within the same paragraph, he's thinking about getting the rest of his money. This is where Harry's mind goes. He's like, all right, I don't have anything to do. All I need to do right now is go to Gringotts, get my money, and live my life as an outcast. And I thought that was quite interesting that Harry is envisioning his life as an outcast. And this is actually how his godfather Sirius is going to have to live his life as an outcast. You know, so here he is thinking of his dad and then thinking of becoming an outcast. And I just think it's so sad that really is how his uncle's going to have to live, just completely hidden from society.
Yep. Here we go. This comes from Half-Blood Prince.
Okay.
It seems accepted wisdom that Sean Pike is not a genuine Death Eater at all. Indeed, the suggestion that he might be a Death Eater is treated as a laughable prospect. It's assumed that he is merely being held for political reasons to make it look like the Ministry of Magic is making the progress in arresting the suspects that are Death Eaters. They're still not holding Stan Shunpike, are they? Asked Harry. I'm afraid so, said Mr. Weasley. I know Dumbledore's tried appealing directly to Scrimgeour about Stan. I mean, anybody who's actually interviewed him agrees that he's about as much as a Death Eater as this Satsuma. But the top levels want to look as though they're making some progress. And three arrests sounds better than three mistaken arrests and releases. And then it follows up in the Deathly Hallows in Chapter 5 when Harry says, I saw Stan Shunpike, you know, the bloke who was the conductor of the night bus, and I tried to disarm him instead of, well, he doesn't know what he's doing, does he? He must be imperioused. So it is neither confirmed nor denied. It's just simply...
Which is the conundrum with imperious curses, isn't it?
Yes.
That one can just say, I was under the imperious curse.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
Okay. Simple Stan. I still don't like that word, contemptuously. I'm going to stick to that word right there.
Part of the night bus that occurs is that it's summoned by accident.
Yes.
Does Harry know that, well, Harry does not actively know, obviously, that he's summoning the night bus. And it makes me wonder, does the night bus just show up to places every once in a while and they're like, yep. Oh, you don't need us? Okay, sorry.
That's what I think. I think people just hooping and hollering and it gets called every once in a while, and that's just part of the ride, man. Part
right.
of the ride.
And the fact is...
Maybe the witch or wizard doing it has to be in a state of distress. Has to be lost.
Yeah, that's part of my contention, I think. I would contend that they must be emotionally distraught, emotionally lost in order to summon the night bus. You can't just wave your wand and be like, hey, take me down a couple of blocks.
Bippity-boppity-boo.
And to follow up on this idea of accidental magic, there is a whole division at the Ministry of Magic that is dedicated to accidental magic. It's something that Fudge says, which makes you wonder... Can he really tell the difference between accidental magic and purposeful magic in that way? And not only that, this accidental type magic must happen all the time.
Agreed.
All the time. So to dedicate an entire division to that would suggest that it does happen all the time.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Do you think... Because it makes you feel like Harry is doing accidental magic and it's just him that's doing that. But this, I think, is a direct confirmation that it's not just him.
Agreed.
Obviously.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I will say, however, that we get a true sense... Not a true sense, but we start to get a little sense about Harry's strong power, you know, so he is accidentally able to beckon the night bus pretty easily. And we have him sensing Sirius Black. It says it twice. A funny prickling on the back of his neck made Harry feel he was being watched. And then later on, he had sensed rather than heard it. Someone or something was standing in the narrow gap between the garage and the fence behind him. So Harry twice senses the feeling that someone is watching him. And I think that this is just another proof, another example that Harry really is a powerful, powerful wizard, that he's just going to continue to blossom, especially when it comes to kind of cluing in that sixth sense. I mean, we know he goes on to be an Auror himself. He needs to rely upon just those gut feelings and the prickling on the back of his neck. So I thought it was quite interesting. And of course, then he does see Sirius Black.
Right. Well, he sees him as the dog version.
The hulking outline of something very big. He sees,
So this is our first technical introduction to Sirius. Again, the author...
In dog form.
The author telling you right up front that... This is who we were going to be dealing with, even though you don't have necessary or enough information to understand that this is Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Sirius, a question I have for you is Cornelius Fudge, I think it's said and it's implied in this chapter that he has to talk to the prime minister, the English prime minister,
yes,
about
Sirius escaping.
Black. And there's the great report where the wizard's saying, he is carrying what humans as their kind of wand. It's a metal thing, apparently called a gun.
Yeah.
That's curious reporting to me. Does that mean that wizards don't know what guns are?
Well, first off, we're talking about the UK, where they have very different gun laws than the United States.
Yeah.
So, like, yes, people there know what guns are, but it's not like every single person may have a gun in their home and you don't know.
Right, but as we've talked about, Mary, these worlds run parallel. They are...
Yeah.
Oh,
but Ron doesn't even know how to use the phone. So if there's people who have just grown up in their...
But he surely knows what a phone is. He just may not know how to use it.
I don't know.
It's like you know what an AR-15 is. Like you know what that's a or an M16.
No.
You know it's a gun. It's a
okay. I don't know.
A military rifle. You know that a military rifle exists. You don't know how to use it.
I would say that many wizards, those who have any interaction with the Muggle world at all, maybe those who study Muggle history, will know. Mm-hmm. But I would suggest that wizards who just stick to their wizarding world probably don't know or care.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they probably just don't even care about Muggle history. They just don't care anything about the Muggles are doing. A lot of wizards think that they are so much more above the Muggles that they might not even bother with it. So I do see it as something like, really, they don't know what guns are, but on the flip side, they don't know the purpose of a rubber duck. So
I love how Harry is scared, obviously, and
with Snuffles.
Yeah, and he,
aka Sirius,
he is alone, and he's worried that he just got expelled from Hogwarts for accidental magic or mm-hmm. for purposeful magic.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing he does when he does get scared to illuminate the situation is immediately go to Lumos. Like, yep. He immediately takes out his wand and Lumos. Like
I'm frightened.
I find that fantastic because he's in this position mentally because he used magic in the Muggle world. And yet here he is immediately using magic again. Is that something that is because, well, if I'm going to be... You know, in trouble, might as well just keep going.
Already in it.
Yeah.
Let's do it, man. Of course, he was thinking about doing like that levitation, you know, to help make his trunk be lighter, which actually I believe Tonks uses when they do come and rescue him mm-hmm. from Fort Privet Drive.
I love that there's something for Harry to still worry about. He hasn't achieved like God mode. Like, you know, when you get into a game.
I am the chosen one.
Yeah, I am. He's not Neo seeing the code bending around things. He still is afraid. He's still scared. And he's still learning. The fact that he doesn't know the night bus exists. And the fact that he didn't know how to summon it. And the fact that it just shows up because it needs to show up for him. And this surprises him. Is a fantastic way to bring Harry back down to a level that is approachable for readers.
Well, and it also makes him very vulnerable as we begin to hear more and more of this Sirius Black. He is very human to us. He is very naive still to the wizarding world. And we hear that Sirius Black, possibly the most infamous prisoner, of course, escapes. Black murdered 13 people with a single curse. One of them, of course, being a wizard and a dozen Muggles. And then once he was done with it, he left. He just stood there and laughed. And when reinforcements from the Ministry of Magic got there, he went quietly with them, just still laughing.
One of the things I think we're going to be talking about in this book is justice on many levels. You know, whether it is justice for Lupin or justice for Buckbeak. Or justice for Sirius, justice for Harry, or even Snape having to deal with eventually Lupin and Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, Scabbers. There's justice a lot here. And Harry looks at justice in black and white terms when it comes to his accidental magic, that the government is there. They're going to... expel me. They know right and wrong. They're going to take all this and hammer me with everything they have because they've already told me not to do it again, and I did, and here it is. But Justice here, if you notice what Stan Shunpike says, he talks about Sirius killing all those people, and he just sat there and laughed, and they took Sirius and they put him in Azkaban. At no point does he mention anything about a trial. At no point does he mention anything about Sirius telling his side of the story. It makes me feel like they needed someone to blame the Ministry of Magic, and Sirius just happened to be it. Mm-hmm. They selected him. He may or may not have been there. Who knows? And that was that. Do you find that to be true?
Oh, yeah. The justice system in the Wizarding World is not one that I... that I think highly of. I'll right. say that for sure.
Right.
It's quite scary. There's never been a breakout in Azkaban before. Never. Not once.
Right, not once.
In the history of Azkaban.
Mm-hmm.
Sirius Black is the first to do it, and he's not even like a dark wizard. Goes to show you how incredibly smart and creative this gentleman is.
How powerful he is.
Yes. And he is triggered. He is triggered by seeing the clipping of the Weasley family with Scabbers in Ron's hand.
Oh, okay. That would
do it. That's what triggers him to wanting to break out of Azkaban.
Right.
He gets out and, of course, travels as Snuffles, the dog. And the first thing he wants to do is go check in on Harry mm-hmm. and make sure that Harry's okay.
So how does he...
He's a dog.
Right. No. But...
How does he break out? We don't know how he broke out.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but he travels as a dog, so the Dementors can't easily find him.
I'm happy to accept the fact that he breaks out, and that's just a part of the story that you don't need to know. Mm-hmm. Like, you just accept the fact that he broke out. I'm okay with that. But how does he know where to go? How does he know where to go to check in on Harry?
That's a good question. Maybe he uses a phone book. Maybe, I mean, because he obviously knew Lily. So maybe he met Petunia once at like their wedding or something?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know. That's a great question.
Yeah, of course it is. You want to know why? It's because I'm Batman.
Harry meets Fudge, who's just so easily just chilling at the Leaky Cauldron. Once again, I don't understand that part, that right. Fudge is just like right there. Maybe he was on his way trying to get somewhere, but Fudge is at the Leaky
Cauldron. Yeah, there's a part with Fudge that he was talking, and I remember reading it. Where is it? About Fudge's talking, I think, about Sirius. And he, like, kind of...
Where he talks about the guards? Because Harry asks him, have you had any luck with Black yet? And Fudge says, oh, what, you've heard? No, not yet. It's only a matter of time. The Azkaban guards have never yet failed, and they are angrier than I've ever seen.
Yeah, but it gave me a sense of, like, he was almost caught surprised.
Well, yeah, it said Fudge's finger slipped in the silver fastenings of his cloak. I missed that part.
There you
go. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. It seems like, and this is what kind of gives me a clue into the fact that they went in on Sirius the same way that they did Hagrid in the Chamber of Secrets. Got to have somebody.
Tammy's got it. Sirius broke out by slipping through the bars as a dog and swimming to the shore. The Dementors can't sense him as well.
Oh, see, Tammy's bringing it, baby.
She is. Are you a big Sirius fan, Tammy? She's got her Sirius facts down pat.
I know. You got anything else that you want to talk about?
That's really it.
Yeah, I think so. Angela says, so wait, Sirius is actually a good guy?
Just hold on tight. Hold on tight. You'll find out in this book. It's not like a multi-book thing. You just hold on tight.
I'm not going to say no, but I'm not going to say yes
I'm
either.
I'm saying yes.
Because I don't want to ruin it for you.
Buddy, I already did.
This is a spoiler. He is a good guy. And he is Harry's godfather. And Sirius might be my favorite character for the whole series, except for Snape. And of course,
Gilderoy Lockhart.
Gilderoy Lockhart. I mean, come on. The man's amazing.
All right, so we are going to go into the different perspective. Blake, do you have somebody?
No, but I think you do. So why don't we go for it? Of course, the different perspective is brought to you by the Mary and Blake store.
It is.
Go to the MaryandBlakeStore.com to get those Christmas presents that you knew you need.
You can get them still in time if you order it now.
Yep. If you order it now, you go to the Mary and Blake store and get all the Harry Potter shirts. You can get all of the This Is Us or Outlander shirts or any of the stuff, the Mary and Blake brand that we have, all the cool, fun sayings that we do, like Not Great Bob or whatever. Go to the MaryandBlakeStore.com. Get your orders in now. That way they can still arrive for Christmas. Marvin, you ready to do a different perspective?
I sure am.
Let's get it done.
Holy cricket. You're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
I'm Stan Shunpike.
All right.
Yeah, man.
I like it.
Oh, life's good. You know, I'm doing a double today. I love the night bus. I've got the best job ever. I get to go around the country like 5 times a day.
Sure.
5 times a day. Not everybody gets to say that. I mean, really interesting people. And by interesting people, I mean they're generally sick or senile or underage. Mm-hmm. Hey, they still have some awesome stories to share. And I have this extra side gig. Okay. So it only costs like 4 sickles or whatever for people to come and ride the night bus. But I go to this thing in the muggle world called the dollar store, and I get this pack of toothbrushes. Yup. Why do people need a toothbrush on a bus? I don't know. But I somehow con at least 10 people a day to buy a flippin' toothbrush on a bus. It's awesome. So this kid came in, Neville Longbottom. He didn't buy the toothbrush. He did buy the hot chocolate. I don't make that much in the hot chocolate, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, well, because everybody knows what chocolate is. Like, I mean, how could you? I mean, Dumbledore gives it out, but, you know, just for the fun of it.
And I actually messed up. I, like, spilt it all over him. And now I feel like the biggest fool. Because that was Harry freaking Potter.
I'm Harry freaking Potter.
So you know what I'm doing all week?
What are you doing?
Every single person that comes in the night bus. Do you want to know what I did? I spilt hot chocolate on Harry freaking Potter. Do you want a toothbrush?
End scene. You're welcome. Hey, so what do you think, actually, Mary, about
the toothbrush situation?
Not the toothbrush situation. Are you getting Colgate? Are you doing Crest?
I mean, it's not like the bus ride is that long.
Are you doing CVS off brand?
Buddy, where are they even spitting?
Well, they're sleeping. They got beds on the bus. Might as well spit somewhere else.
Out the window?
Sure, why not?
I don't even know. There's so many sanitary questions that I have to ask.
What do you think about Harry using Neville Longbottom's name as opposed to his?
Love it.
Of course, there is, you know,
the chosen one,
that Neville is in fact the chosen one and not Harry. So I find that
appropriate.
It could
have been Neville.
Yes, it could have been.
Neville, of course, is born in the same month. We're going to learn about the prophecy and how there was a babe born in the summer, and this would be the child who would be able to defeat Lord Voldemort. And Voldemort picks Harry. Mm. Voldemort, well, because he gets a little insight. Thanks, Snape. he gets a little insight into that situation. But really, Neville ends up playing a really large part in this, the destruction of Voldemort. Mm-hmm. I love that Harry uses that name. And I love that Stan Shunpike calls Harry Neville. Even when he finds out that he's not, what do you mean, Neville? What do you mean that's not your name? Okay, Neville. Like, he says goodbye to him as Neville multiple times as they're saying farewell.
And then Cornelius Fudge is there. It's like, Harry, hey!
Yes. He's like, this isn't Harry. This is Neville. Okay, like, all right, buddy. And he, as I said, he calls him it. And I just kind of love it because, you know, when you meet somebody and they introduce themselves, like, let's say someone's name is Rebecca. Mm-hmm. But you've heard from somebody else that their name's Becky. Mm-hmm. But when they introduce themselves, they call themselves Rebecca.
Yeah, so are you obligated to call them Rebecca?
Yes, because that is how they introduce themselves to you, in my opinion. Yeah. Now, mind you, if this has been a lifelong friend and you've had nicknames forever, that's different, in my opinion. But if they are now introducing themselves as Rebecca, that is how you say it.
Sure.
And that's often when I meet people, I'm like, how do you introduce yourself? And I just love, or you can even look at, you know, the trans community, like how people introduce themselves is how they want to be seen.
Sure.
So I just think that Stan Shunpike, as much as I hated on him earlier in this chapter, he's either very slow, because he still calls Harry Potter Neville Longbottom, he still calls him Neville, or he's like, Harry wants to go by Neville.
So? He's just...
So he is Neville.
Just be inappropriate.
Just embrace who he says he is and love on him anyway.
Oh, by the way, a bunch of people here on the chat are saying, free of charge. So, so I have to get that sound. Free of charge.
Yes.
All right. Are you ready for some email and questions?
Yes. For our friends who are live in the chat, please put in your questions now. Even if you put it in before, you of course start the question with a lightning bolt emoji. And those of you listening now on the podcast, post the live, know that you can always email us your questions at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. All right, Blake, let's do it.
Do it.
Oh, Miles head.
All right, so we got a first email. It comes from Anne. She says, hello, Mary and Blake. I love this chapter in the book. I was wondering what clues are hidden in the story of what happened with Black, which led to him being sent to prison. I don't think there's anything in this chapter that would suggest that.
Well, you know, it says that he killed.
Yes, he killed
13 people.
But as we all know, he was set up. To do that, and the Ministry of Magic was simply looking for somebody to do that, because 12 muggles were killed and one wizard in this experience. So you could imagine that the Prime Minister of England over at 10 Downing Street is going to the Minister of Magic being like, bro, what are we doing? This guy killed 12 of our people and one wizard, and we have to answer for this. So that...
What actually happened, in case you forgot, because it was over a decade ago since you've read this book, is actually... So after betraying the Potters, because... Oh, Peter Pettigrew, of course. You know, just the Snape Pettigrew perfect situation going on. Sirius Black goes after Pettigrew.
Yes.
And he's like, what did you just do?
Yeah.
And he confronts him in a very crowded street in London. And then Pettigrew yells at Black, oh my God, I know what you did. You killed, you had the Potters killed, all this stuff. And then Pettigrew creates an explosion, blowing off his finger and leaving. And the explosion kills 11 muggles, one wizard, which really is Peter Pettigrew.
Right, yeah.
And when the authorities come on the scene, Sirius is just so overtaken by his absolute grief of losing his best friend and everything that's just happened that he is laughing. A lot of people do laugh when really sad or weird things happen.
Sure.
And of course, and they tell everybody else who still got to see it, because there were muggles still in the scene who were like, oh my gosh, this guy just said you killed, like, you know, XYZ. So they fixed the muggle's memory, but that's actually what happened.
This makes me call into question the relationship between the Minister of Magic and the Prime Minister of England.
Yes.
Is the Prime Minister aware of the magical world?
Yes.
Okay. And then does the Ministry of Magic or the Minister of Magic have, you know, flunkies that go to 10 Downing Street and like obliviate when they need to?
What? No, there's a portrait. You're forgetting this part. Look how long it's been since you've read.
It's true, yeah.
So there's like a portrait that the Prime Minister can talk, and like they're able to communicate with one another.
Okay.
So when a new Prime Minister comes in, they learn like, oh, by the way, now that you're in the secret of the circle of trust, there's actually wizards.
Yep.
And that Prime Minister, they speak now about Sirius Black, and then they're going to speak again the future when Voldemort comes back.
It's kind of like Area 51.
Yeah, they're on the know.
Or the Book of Secrets, if you will. Nick Cage would be so proud of me right now.
So probably, you know, like this Prime Minister was not around when Harry's family was murdered. So that was a different Prime Minister that had to deal with that.
So they get the briefing.
They heard that it was a gas main issue.
Okay.
So probably they didn't even know that. Who knows?
All right. So that's that. All right. Let's get some questions in here. Let's see what we got. Angela asks, is he really good friends with Voldemort? Who, Angela? That's my question.
I would assume you're asking Sirius. No. Sirius is on the good guy side.
Yes,
he was framed.
Yes. He was in the Order of the Phoenix, which you will learn about in book 5. Rebecca asks, since Blake hasn't read them all yet, Mary, here, where does Prisoner of Azkaban fall in your ranking of the 7? Not remembering if I've asked this before.
This is definitely like in my top half. It's very hard for me to rank these books. And yeah. I think after this reread, I'll have to try it on out again. But this is definitely in the upper half, possibly even the top three. I just think that this is such a different book. We get to explore the Wizarding World in a different level. We get Sirius, who I think is such a wonderful, multifaceted character. Mm-hmm. We have Lupin. We get just this whole backstory of the Marauders. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I just think that it adds this whole extra element where it's not just this little boy and his friends trying just to save the day, but it's really the whole Wizarding World that opens up to us in this book.
Right.
So it's definitely up there. How about you, Blake?
Yeah, it's not just, as you said, Mary, the boarding school adventure. It's not just the Goonies, right? It's not, wee, Hogwarts! This is about Harry. This is about Harry's relationship to his family, Harry's relationship to his elders, Harry's relationship to magic in general, and finally discovering how truly powerful Harry really is. That's why this book works so well. So how much do I love this book? It's definitely top three.
Mm.
It's, man, I don't know, the books from here on, I love The Order of the Phoenix.
It's just so good.
I love The Order of the Phoenix.
They just keep
so
rolling,
much.
So you're like, and I love you. It's like choosing between your children.
I know.
I love you, and I love you.
And this is
you.
Not The Crown, so we don't have a favorite. but, you know, Half-Blood Prince is also excellent. The Deathly Hallows is incredible, though I will say a little long. So I would probably have to put The Deathly Hallows below... below Prisoner of Azkaban. But you know what? Camping brings it down. That's the issue. If there was no camping, I think I'm in.
Okay.
I think I'm in. Anyway, all right, let's see if we get any other questions here. Kind of from the last chapter, but how many people do you think they had used a memory charm on who saw Aunt Madge flying over London? She was probably floating for quite a while.
Good question, Allie. I would like to hope that it is dinner time, so hopefully everybody was inside and eating.
If it was Rhode Island, you know everybody will be inside and
if
eating.
If it is 5:05, everybody's eating.
Everybody's eating in Rhode Island at 5 o'clock.
Like tonight, we had to have a late dinner. I told Blake we're going to pretend to be European, and it was at like 6:20. I had to apologize. Not that you would have been upset, but I was like, just so you know, the chicken pot pie is taking a lot longer.
I was like, we're not eating? It's 5 o'clock. What are we doing?
What's going on?
I'm all thrown off.
You said, by European, do you mean we're eating something like a spicy or something? Like a different type of food?
I thought we were going to have like all apps. I was like, okay, we're going to eat all
apps.
All right, cool. We'll do all apps. It's European. I'll take that.
Kim asks on YouTube, do you think Fudge was waiting for Harry at the Leaky Cauldron? Do you think Dumbledore is keeping track of Harry and let Fudge know he was missing?
That is a great question. I personally think that Dumbledore does not know.
I would agree. Like, I think Dumbledore should have a tracker on Harry. Maybe just like stick a little something under his trunk or something. But we know that Dumbledore isn't the best at taking care of Harry Potter, right. Leaving him on a doorstep as a baby overnight on Halloween night.
By the way, somebody said earlier that Professor McGonagall stayed with Harry all night until he was discovered by the Dursleys, which means definitely not the worst situation he's ever been in.
Good, because that, of course, is part of my fan fiction. She just took him.
So I'm more inclined to think that the Minister of Magic is there because there is a tracker, and it's via the Ministry of Magic. Some sort of division where accidental magic, perhaps, or underage magical power. I don't know.
I just think he's like, he's bound to end up here. This is the only way he's going to get into the Wizarding World.
Kim asks, do you think more than a few people aside from Dumbledore knew Harry was a Horcrux?
I don't
think so either. I think you could probably suss it out if you wanted to logically pursue that, but that means you
like
have to
Snape.
Know that there is in fact that there are in fact Horcruxes.
Yeah, it depends how much he told Snape. Like Snape knows Harry's future a little bit later on in the books.
Yeah, but
I don't think Dumbledore's like, "Oh, and Harry's a Horcrux."
Yeah, my recollection of that is Snape is surprised when he learns that Harry has to die because he's a Horcrux.
But I don't know if the word Horcrux is even said to him.
That's a good point. That's a good point. All right, Angela asks, they said on the bus that Sirius was a close follower of Voldemort.
So Sirius is framed for it.
And really, it's Peter Pettigrew, who you have kind of met so far, Angela.
Yes.
But they get those two confused. Peter Pettigrew, who was a friend of the...
Of James and Sirius,
actually is a close follower of Voldemort and frames Sirius.
Right, and nobody knew at the time that he was a follower of Voldemort's. Mm-hmm. So it was that's how Sirius gets framed for it. Next question, Caitlin asks, why didn't Harry ask to go to the Weasleys? I'm sure they would have helped him. I know they were not home, but I doubt they would have minded if him staying there, given the situation. Mary, what do you say?
I know, as like a 13-year-old, I wouldn't have gone to my friend's house.
Would you be embarrassed?
How are you going to get in? Like, do they have special wizard locking charms? All he knows is Alohomora, and I don't know if there's better locks than that.
Sure. I bet you there's probably better locking charms
than
Alohomora.
And I don't think he knows really the address. Like, he just uses owls, and he just knows it as the burrow, and he flew there in a flying car.
Right. So, yeah, you're probably right. He does not know the address. And let's just say for the sake of argument that he did know the address. Again, we have to get to the point of Narrativium. You know, the book.
And he needs his money.
Yeah, the book knows that it has to get Harry to the Leaky Cauldron. It has to get him in touch with Fudge and clear up the situation that happened with Aunt Madge so we can move forward. So, how do we do that? You go to the Leaky Cauldron.
Heather Wilson says, if you had called up the night bus and were offered a destination of your choice, as with Harry Potter, would you have also chosen Diagon Alley or some other place if you were in Harry's shoes, Blake?
That's the thing. You know, Harry knows he has to get to the magical world. And how has he gotten to the magical world before? How he did with Hagrid, which was through the Leaky Cauldron. So maybe he thinks, okay, if I go to the Leaky Cauldron, I can get into the magical world and figure it out from there.
I mean, I think his main goal is he needs money. You know, he can't necessarily rely upon going to Ron's or even Hagrid's or Hermione's because he doesn't know if they're going to be there. No matter what, for him to make things work, Harry likes to feel a bit independent too. You know, he doesn't want to necessarily be relying upon people for everything. So he knows I have this money that is the asset that I have in this world right now in regards to being able to do something.
But it's only in the magical world that he has the money. So, and how does he even, is he even sure that he can get back into the magical world? That's the question, right? So all that money that he has sitting in Gringotts is worthless unless he gets back to the magical world.
Rachel wants to know, which of the books have you read by this point, Blake?
Okay, so I've read every single book except The Goblet of Fire. Now that I've read The Sorcerer's Stone or The Chamber of Secrets, I've read all of them except Goblet of Fire.
He hadn't read 1, 2, or 4 before this.
Right. Allie says, oh my God, we eat close to 8.
See?
Nope.
That's why I was like, oh, we're going to be European.
That's a sin in Rhode Island. That's second dinner.
What time do kids go to sleep, Allie?
Yeah.
Because our kids are in bed by 7:15 and they're asleep by 8.
Elizabeth asks, where do the wizards live? Is it like a parallel world? Mm. Wizards, at least to my understanding here, wizards live in their communities, and they live among Muggles. Again, Muggles, as Stan says, don't see any of this stuff because they're too busy with themselves.
Think about how many of your neighbors you don't really know.
Right.
You know, so that's the idea. A lot of the wizards that we see in these books live more in the countryside. So think about the Weasleys or the Lovegoods. You know, they live kind of in this like far off country area where, once again, nobody would even question what they do. The Weasleys have a little bit of a farm thing going on. But then you look at other people. You look at Snape, for example, who lived in a neighborhood with Muggles when growing up. Or you look towards the Fantastic Beasts franchise inside New York City.
Right.
Where they live among Muggles. So
or even the Blacks at Grimmauld Place.
Yes.
You know, that's in the city.
But it's the Black's house is really cool. Like, yeah, it's completely hidden. It's not even like there is a house that they can see.
Right.
It's hidden from the Muggles, probably because they were such pure blood purists.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think it just relies upon the fact that, as I said, think about how many of your own neighbors. I mean, maybe you're very friendly, but Blake and I'm very friendly.
I'm not.
I do not know if any of my neighbors are not wizards.
We do know one of them is a Satan lover. We know that. So our Satan neighbors.
I know, but I wouldn't say Satan lover. Oh my God, that's like very gross.
You know, there is text to prove the fact that Stanchon Pike is not wrong. Let's look at the fact that wizards go into King's Cross and just disappear into a wall, right? How many people at King's Cross are related to Hogwarts? How many how many people taking out the luggage? How many people that work on the train itself? How many people are security guards? How many people are coming in and out of these walls? How many kids are going? How many parents are going to be there? And they're all traveling through
on 9 3/4
on September 1st. And none of the muggles see anything about it. So is it reasonable to assume that muggles can't see the night bus because they just can't see past their own noses? I mean, it's a cute idea, but yeah, I think within the world, it's reasonable to expect that. All right, let's see if we have any other questions. Kim's asks, how do you think Fudge knew Harry was at the Leaky Cauldron and that he was in danger? Fudge told him it was better that Harry didn't go to town during this his third year. Yes, because he has to stay in Diagon Alley while he is at the
Leaky Cauldron. He wants to keep him locked down because Black's on the loose.
Right, and does Fudge know his relationship?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Fudge wants Harry grounded and locked down because he doesn't want Sirius Black to get him.
Yes. And so we've already talked about how we think Fudge knew it could be a tracker via the Ministry of Magic. Tammy asks, what if Harry had gone to Hermione's house? Her parents are muggles and would understand the two worlds.
Hermione's traveling too.
Yes.
Hermione's out of the country because that's one of the things he thinks is like, I can't go to either of them because they're both out of the country right now. Mm-hmm. So, Blake did not read Goblet of Fire because we were quickly catching him up.
Yes.
And I told him that as good as the Goblet of Fire is, really all you need to know is that Voldemort comes
back. And what did Veronica say about that?
Not great, Bob.
I know, Veronica. I'm so sorry.
We were trying to catch him up very quickly because we had just started dating. And I was like, the fifth movie comes out and the last book comes out. So I said, if you read three... No, I said we watch one and two.
Watch one and two, read three, watch four. And read the rest.
Yes.
And that's what I did because I loved my girlfriend.
Because I'm like, as much as four is such a wonderful, fun ride, plot-wise, you can
skip most of it.
Yeah.
And just get to the end and know what happens.
Yeah. And he did just fine.
Yep. I was
love
fine.
Four as well. I love four, but sadly.
I was love struck, man. That was it. I was reading those books as fast as I could. So, Allie, have you gotten any further in deciding how we're going to figure out the next podcast? Are we doing a poll? I'm so excited.
We're
going to
do a poll.
We're going to do a poll. Yeah, so we're going to take suggestions. I'm going to throw some suggestions out there, too. We're going to then see how many suggestions there are, what is the most popular from those suggestions, and then we are going to vote among the listener suggestions and the ones that I'm going to give, too. We will hold a vote at jointhenerdclan.com, and then that will decide the next podcast. So that
last question,
that.
Caitlin Marie says, why do you not like The Sound of Music,
Blake? It's so boring.
He was not introduced. Okay, you are the worst right now. Can you just be quiet? Because you're actually like loud.
I know.
Like your hatred. Like,
that's how much I hate The Sound of Music. Mary literally cannot handle my hate of The Sound of Music.
No, I'm done with you.
No, continue. Please go.
I'm done.
No, just...
This is like talking about politics.
Okay, fair
enough.
When
I say I'm done, I'm done.
Fair enough.
Welcome to our 2020. People wonder, like, how are you guys doing? We're great. We're great.
We're great.
I just have to tell Blake when I'm done.
Yes, that's true. Rebecca says, you are the worst, Burr. Yes, I am the worst. That's okay. All right, and that's it.
No, okay, we're wrapping it up.
Okay, yeah, we're going to wrap it up. That's the end.
That's the end.
Right? Okay, that's the end. All right, here we go. Let's close it out.
So very much for jumping into the Prisoner of Azkaban with us. This is, of course, such a fun, wild ride. And honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you not only for listening, but also for sharing. If you enjoy listening to the Potterverse in any way, shape, or form, honestly, the best gift that you can do is to let your friends know about this podcast. It is, you know, not like this hot word right now. It's not like it's the newest show on Netflix or a new movie out. The Harry Potter series has been here for a while. And because of that, people are kind of just stuck in their routine. Maybe they do a once a year read through, or maybe they do a Harry Potter movie marathon at the holiday season. But if they're a fan of Harry Potter and it brings them Lumos in their time of Knox, I think that it'd be fun for them to join in. So please share this in any way, shape, or form that you deem appropriate, and know that that is one of the best gifts that you can give to Blake and I.
And of course, become a member at jointhenerdclan.com. Go there, become an official member, and get all the fun stuff that we have there, like free swag and the fun, cool podcasts. But mainly become a member there so you can help decide the next podcast that Mary and I are doing. So,
my name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
Mischief managed.